In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. A while back, I took one of those quizzes online about American history. The quiz began by saying that we might be surprised by what we think is common knowledge is not really true. The first question, true or false? George Washington was the first president of the United States. Everybody knows that George Washington was the first president, right? Well, being from Maryland, I knew that there was a Marylander named John Hanson who served a one-year term beginning in 1781 as the president of what was called the United States in Congress Assembled. This was under the old Articles of Confederation, which were the law of the land until the U.S. Constitution was ratified in 1789, and George Washington was elected the first president under that. So I answered false. George Washington was not the first president. But the correct answer, according to the people who made the quiz, was that true. George Washington was the first president. The consensus among the historians is that only presidents elected under the Constitution count. That introduction to the quiz, saying what we think is obvious might be wrong, planted the seed of doubt in my mind and got me to overthinking things. Still, one can make a good argument that John Hanson really was the first president. And I hope that all of you will sign the petition on your way out this morning, my petition to change the name of Washington, D.C. to Hanson, D.C. Also, a while back, my doctor recommended that I work out at a certain physical therapy center where I would be supervised by a personal trainer. I was supposed to do 45 minutes of cardio exercise 3 times a week and get my heart rate up to a certain level. We had trouble getting my heart rate up into the target range. The trainer told me to drink a couple cups of caffeinated coffee before working out. I was shocked. Isn't coffee bad for your heart, I asked. That's what I had always heard. No, she said. Not only will coffee help you get your pulse into the target range, it has chemicals in it that help break down fat. Coffee is actually a very healthy drink. Since then, other benefits have been attributed to coffee as well. Who knew that coffee was a healthy drink? Medical science has gone back and forth on the benefits and risks for your health of eggs and wine and other foods. My own personal research shows that eating bacon is the healthiest thing you can do for your body. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. What is real and what is fake? What is wise and what is foolish? What is false and what's true? That was Pontius Pilate's question, wasn't it? What is truth? Whatever truth is, it's been taking a beating lately. In politics, we talk about spin. Any news story, any event, any comment can be spun to sound like it favors one candidate, one party, or the other, depending on who's doing the spinning. Statistically, it has been proven that statistics can be twisted to say anything. For instance, two horses raced one another, Spartan and Sugarfoot. Spartan won, Sugarfoot lost. The newspaper said Sugarfoot finished second and Spartan finished next to last. That's technically true, but hardly the truth. Which brings us to fake news. I haven't really been following the fake news and alternative facts debate very much. However, I was struck by a headline that said a group of philosophers and theologians were joining together to condemn fake news. In the article, a spokesperson for the group said that they were not sure that there really is such a thing as objective truth. They believe that all ethics and morals are relative. They are not even sure that reality exists, but they are certain that fake news is bad. The kicker, the article itself was fake news, but it certainly had a certain truthiness to it. Now, this is true. A notable Protestant church leader spoke out against fake news on Facebook, advocating that only things fact-checked by the group known as Snopes be allowed to be posted because Snopes is always right, he said. So here's a guy that doesn't believe that the Bible is inerrant, but thinks that Snopes is infallible. You can't make this stuff up. Someone quipped that if you tell a man there are a billion stars in the sky, he will believe you. Tell him that there's wet paint on a wall and he has to touch it to find out for himself. I'm sure you've seen that happen. I know I have. I claim no expertise in theoretical physics or mathematics, but I am aware of the theory, though, that there are infinite multiple universes. This is a belief well accepted in the scientific community that there are an infinite number of universes parallel to our own, and these universes we cannot see or prove that they actually exist. Still, many learned people believe in them, many of the same people who say that Christianity is a fairy tale. Now, if those universes have to cover every possibility possible, shouldn't half of them have a God? As Christians, we say that there is at least one spiritual realm that normally we don't see, we call it heaven, but we have the concrete evidence of Saints Paul and John who saw it and Jesus who descended from it. Now, which one sounds like a fairy tale to you? Tell a man there are an infinite number of universes and he will believe you. Tell him that there is one heaven and he'll tell you that you're delusional. Every so often, archaeologists or historians will come up with alleged discoveries they claim that the Christian that they claim disproves the Christian tradition or the Bible. A few years ago, someone claimed to have found an ossuary. That's a bone box that the ancient Jews would put the bones of their loved ones into. And he said that this box belong to Jesus. Yes, that Jesus. That, of course, would mean that Jesus never rose from the dead. Now, that discovery turned out to be faked, totally false, a hoax. But many people only heard about the purported evidence, and they never heard the verdict that it was a forgery. The fact is that we have more direct, hard, concrete, undeniable evidence to prove the existence of Jesus of Nazareth than we do for other historical figures, people like King Arthur or even Julius Caesar. We have more reason to believe that the Bible as we have it today is a more accurate copy of the original sources than the works of Shakespeare or the writings of ancient Greeks, such as Homer's Iliad and Odyssey. Archaeological digs have turned up artifacts pointing to the real existence of places and people mentioned in the Bible, including characters from the Passion of our Lord, such as Caiaphas the high priest and Pontius Pilate the governor. Archaeological evidence for the truth of the New Testament is a topic I could go on about all day. But today, I'll just give you one story of an allegation meant to discredit Christ and the church and the Bible, and how facts have shown that allegation to be false. Normally, when the Romans crucified people, and this is grotesque, they left their bodies on the crosses to rot and be eaten by the birds. That's a very good detriment. You see that, and you don't mess with the Romans. Some anti-Christian historians extrapolated then that when Jesus was crucified, he would have been left on the cross and not buried, making the accounts of the empty tomb and his physical bodily resurrection impossible. Now, it has long been known that the Romans made some concessions to the Jews to keep the peace. The Jews were stubborn and insistent in their practice of their faith and traditions. It was sometimes just easier for the Romans to appease them for the sake of order. As an example, consider the crucifixes you've seen that show Jesus wearing a loincloth. Victims of crucifixion under the Roman Empire were normally afforded no such modesty. So for years it was said that either the traditional Christian image is wrong, casting doubt on the whole event, or Christians were merely taking artistic license with the image. Better research has found that the Romans did allow Jews to be crucified with loincloths so as not to unnecessarily provoke the Jews' sense of indecency and cause unrest, protests, and riots. Just recently, an archaeological find was made of a skeleton of a Jewish man buried in a tomb and bearing the marks of crucifixion, including a Roman nail stuck between the bones of his foot. That, of course, is not Jesus. Jesus was raised. But it shows that crucified Jews could be buried, and that one would expect that a popular and polarizing figure like Jesus, they would want to hide. Hide him away quickly, especially since it was a Passover Sabbath. There are many good archaeological, historical reasons to believe in the Bible and to believe in Christ as our Savior. Often today, Christians are painted as ignorant, uneducated people who believe something that has no basis in fact. We are said to be anti-intellectual and anti-science. That is just not so. We don't ask you to check your brain at the door of the church. We look at the cosmos, at nature, we call it creation, as God's first book of self-revelation to us. The universe bears the image of its creator. We can look at the beauty and the complexity of the world and know that such a magnificent, detailed, intricate object cannot be an accident or the product of chaos, but that it must be the masterpiece of an infinitely intelligent designer. Just recently, the scientist who is responsible for a dominant idea in physics called string theory said that his research has led him to believe that there must be a God. We know that God to be the God, our God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Isn't it fascinating how God has written his law in our hearts, in the human conscience? How else could different cultures all over the earth, living in different times, have such similar institutions, such as marriage and family, and similar taboos, such as lying, stealing, and murder? Yet, simply observing nature will not lead us to a knowledge of salvation in Christ. You can't look at nature and come to find Jesus and the cross and his resurrection. In a small catechism, Martin Luther said that we cannot by our own reason or strength come to faith in Jesus Christ. And it's true, we can't. Paul said that the cross is foolishness to the lost, but the wisdom of God to us who are being saved. God has manifested himself in the person of Jesus, his son. Again, Luther in the Catechism says that faith is the gift of the Holy Spirit, and it's true. It is. God has moved our hearts to have faith in him, to believe and trust and cling to him. He does that through the reading of the Bible and the preaching of the church. Our faith is nourished and sustained in us by the means of grace, holy baptism, and holy communion. Our faith transforms our minds. God's wisdom transcends human wisdom. Some people refuse to hear. They have hardened their hearts. They don't get it. It reminds me of an old commercial. I think it was for Harley Davidson motorcycles. And the person says, "If I have to explain, you wouldn't understand." That's kind of how faith is. Much of the world just doesn't get us Christians. They try to bring us down. They try to plant seeds of doubt in our heads. And they try to confuse us with fake facts and bad rhetoric. Steel yourselves against the attacks of the world as Paul did. Hold fast to the truth who is Jesus Christ. God's wisdom is so much greater than ours. No wonder Christianity seems absurdly foolish to the world. But to us, the cross is our salvation. It is the power of God. We just know in our hearts and our minds that it is true. And so we go on, rejoicing and proclaiming our faith, trusting the Holy Spirit to work when and where he will. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.